Do you want to talk about how you're feeling right now?
Oh, so many questions. What does this mean? What do I do?
Go on! Tell them what you think!
I liked it.
I think your calculations may have been off.
I think it's all right.
I just have a lot of feelings.
This pleases me.
These are perfectly normal feelings.
Do you even know what you sound like when you talk like that?
Now, shall we begin?
Good afternoon, good evening, and good night. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Real Feels Podcast. Hey, it's Drew here.
And Nathan.
And Nathan. Nathan, how are you doing?
I'm always doing pretty good, man, but today I'm doing real good.
doing quite well.
You yeah. Know,
you little buttercup. My amigo. Oh,
already jumping in.
I like this movie. It's very good. It's very good.
It is a good movie.
I have a plethora of feelings.
Like I told you before, it's definitely not my movie. It's not my the movie that I go to bat for, but it's a movie that I can watch and go, you know what? I'm okay with this.
Exactly.
I like this movie.
It's one of those films where I can definitely not have to pay attention to it if it's on TV, but it's definitely one that if I find it on TV, I'm going to like stop what I'm doing. I'll watch it for a bit. And you know what? I might leave it on in the background because I'm so familiar with it. I'm so enticed by the fact that it has these comedy legends, you know, all in the film. It has a director with such a background to it. And it's just, it's a fun movie. It's a clever, clever movie.
Yeah, this trio definitely kind of hoists the flag of infamous trios that just do well together. They play off each other pretty well. And for the most part, I think all enjoy writing and acting together.
Right.
You know? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Guys, you know what? We are the Real Feels Podcast. We are here every other Wednesday bringing you a brand new movie that we've chosen, and we get down to the nitty gritty and find out what makes these movies work, and especially, you know, how they make us feel, what we like, what we don't like about them. And that's what we're gonna have for you today.
And this week for the Three Amigos.
For the Three Amigos, 1986's Three Amigos, directed by John Landis. And, you know, obviously, a fantastic set of writers went into this film as well. You have Steve Martin. You have Randy Newman, who also wrote some of the songs. Or I believe he did all the songs for the movie as well.
Oh, Newman.
And then Lorne Michaels. And Lorne Michaels, I wasn't familiar with his name until I looked him up, and I realized where all of this comedy styling is coming from, because Lorne Michaels is a writer and an executive producer and a director for Saturday Night Live. So
he's one of those guys that once you see him, you're like, oh yeah, I've seen you on tons of stuff, and you, yeah.
So this is definitely one of those movies that it has the quality going into it from the people who already know comedy, and it's cleverly done. It's written very well. And you just have this fantastic group of talent. I mean, John Landis, the director, he's already known for so many movies that were already well established far before, you know, Three Amigos came around. You had Animal House, you had Blues Brothers, An American Werewolf in London. You know, later on, he's got Trading Places, the Twilight Zone movie. He actually directed the Michael Jackson Thriller video.
Yeah, he's gotten around in Hollywood.
Yeah,
definitely. He's made his mark.
It's a good set. I mean, everything that's actually there is fantastic. Again, Spies Like Us, Coming to America. And unfortunately, it's one of those movies where you got to look back and also see that there are some hiccups. And have you ever seen The Stupids?
I don't think I have.
I think I told you about the Stupids one time.
You did. That was okay. I was like, wait, did I? And I was like, no. Drew told me about that movie though.
This horrid movie that I got rid of, but he brought it
back. It's amazing.
It's a fantastically stupid film. And literally, for something called The Stupids, it's awful. It actually stars Bug Hall from our, you know, Lovely Little Rascals episode.
Ah.
And this was a movie that he did directly after Little Rascals. So it was like his second movie. And it has famed comedy legend Tom Arnold, you know, before he got into a bunch of cocaine. But
Woo!
It's, oh man, it's so many like puns and on the nose kind of jokes where you gotta like shake your head. And
okay.
Guys, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to go out there and try and find it, I don't even know if you can find it on DVD anymore. Maybe a VHS somewhere in some back alley, you know, pawn shop, or possibly even on YouTube. But give it a chance. I guarantee you'll get some stupid laughs, literally from a movie called The Stupids.
You'd be amazed at what the internet has. I'm sure you guys can find it.
Right. It's all
good. Be resourceful.
Be resourceful. But, you know, we're not here for The Stupids. We're here for Three Amigos featuring Steve Martin, Chevy Chase, and Martin Short, Alfonso Aro, and Tony Plana, and I can't really read my own writing, Patrice Martinez.
You sound like a soccer coach that's trying to announce like their players and like has a couple of ethnic players. They're like, Luis, I don't know how to pronounce your last name, honey.
And coming on the field, Tony Blanda and Alfonso Aro and Patrice Martinez.
But they get through all the other names.
All the other names. And then, you know,
Gavin Johnson.
Like, and we have Mark Smythe. it's Smith. Okay. Mark Smith.
Oh, nailed it. I was going to go with my gut, but I didn't.
All right, folks.
Yeah, you got
him. We have a fun little trailer for you because, again, we're here. We are watching 1986's The Three Amigos.
Let's ride!
The Three Amigos. They were the biggest stars of their day.
The Three Amigos are history.
But that was yesterday.
Look, boys, I know show business. Something always turns up. Telegram for the Three Amigos.
Come with me where moonbeams paint the sky.
Who are you?
The Three Amigos! Arriba! Arriba!
I like this guy. They are funny guys. Just kill one of them.
Steve Martin. Chevy Chase.
Do you have anything besides Mexican food?
Martin Short. The Three Amigos.
Throw down your gun! Not you, Dusty! Sorry!
You're so brave.
Whoa, Horsey!
Three Amigos.
I'll come back one day.
Why?
And, you know, with this trailer, you have so many of those quotable lines, Nathan, that are definitely going to be coming up and, you know, discussing the film. But
Farley, 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 Farley. in this movie, like, it does kind of trigger some, like, good quotable lines. And especially just, like, moments. Like, that's what I was trying to talk about earlier is that there's movies that, like, I used to quote all the time. Like,
right.
I'd go to school and I'd just throw them out all the time. This movie, I think, more, like, triggers, like, just fun, like, laughter and, like, feelings.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't my movie that, like, I quoted a bunch, but it was a good watch when I watched it.
Exactly. It's it's just one of those movies that it's familiar and the comedy aspect to it is fantastic. And, you know, guys, for those who have never seen The Three Amigos, first off,
go watch it. Come on.
Shame on you. You've had, what, 32 years?
Plenty of time.
Watch this movie. Go and watch it. But if you need a brush up, we have Steve Martin, Chevy Chase, and Martin Short. They are three silent film actors who have just been canned. They've been fired because they had the audacity to ask for money to be paid to do their movies. And
God forbid.
They're out on their luck, and suddenly they get a telegram. And this telegram is from a woman named Carmen who had seen a silent film of theirs, and she thinks that they are real cowboys, real heroes of the West. And she is in desperate need of someone to come and save their village of Santa Poco and stop the infamous El Guapo and his band of men from just pillaging and bullying and stealing all of their tequila. And they get this telegram saying, you know what? Come on out, put on a show for El Guapo, the infamous El Guapo, and we will pay you 100,000 pesos. And they're like, oh my gosh, our luck's just turned around. Let's go to Santa Poco. We can definitely make this happen.
Now, Drew, it's become a trope, I think, more maybe because of this.
Agreed.
And possibly one or two movies before this, I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that. But this is kind of spurred that, we saw your war films, or we saw your documentaries, or whatever. Galaxy Quest.
Galaxy Quest is definitely one.
Oh, I had like four of them that I'd written down.
But I mean, you have movies that are they're parodies. They're parodies of well-established films that definitely people are, again, it's going to be very familiar. It's going to be recognizable. If anyone out there has ever seen a Scary Movie or Epic Movie.
Or even better, A Bug's Life. Like,
right.
Taking, oh, we're circus actors. Oh, but you guys didn't know that? Like, we thought you guys were like the real deal. That whole kind of trope, almost in a way like Tropic Thunder, but not really.
Tropic Thunder is exactly another one of those things where the actors realize that it's real and they're already in over their heads, and people think that they are these, you know, big time hotshots and they're here to save the day. But lo and behold, it's kind of like, man, meeting your childhood
real
hero.
Bullets.
Yeah, real. Oh, great, real bullets.
Real bullets.
So, oh my gosh. So they get that telegram. They go to Santa Poco, or they go to this village that's, you know, near Santa Poco, and I guess they're going to be meeting up with Carmen. But before that, you have a tiny bit of like minor characters, especially like minor villains that are frequenting this bar that they're going to. And this seems to be like the central hub, just like most bars are, of, you know, communication and rumors and everything that's going on in town. But the first person that comes into the bar, you know, that we are going to eventually find out as one of our main characters is Carmen asking for help. And she's basically just bullied, you know, despite the fact that she's asking for help, she's kind of being, one, not listened to because she's a woman in a bar. In 1916.
Yeah, time it, date it, because people are going to be like, wait, what? Why would they not be listening to her?
No, it's 1916 in the film, guys. It's definitely not modern times, so let's definitely establish that, you know, right now. No one's listening to her. She wants help, and she's just being harassed, and, you know, one of the guys is like, oh, I'll help you, senorita. But you're going to help me first. And he's trying to like manhandle her, and she runs away, and he's like, get on out of here. Get out.
Well, and this is like right before, like, they send off the telegram and they actually get the amigos to come.
Right.
But it kind of sets up this town of, you know, being, kind of the end of the road. There's not much to it. You come to find out later on that all they are good for, or that all that they do is
Right, the town itself. Spoiler alert for the end. Like, the town literally has no skills. All they can do is sew.
And honestly, I think that was one of my favorite parts is just that when he just looks at her like, sewing, of course. And as you should.
Oh, gosh. But it's super funny for the fact that, like, you have, again, this parody of a film that is just drawing on all of these references from fantastic films that came before it, like The Wild Bunch or The Magnificent Seven. Again, you're having this rad-tad group of people coming together to be heroes, to, you know, save those who are needing some justice. And this is kind of what we have with the Three Amigos, except they, again, just like Galaxy Quest, they don't think it's real. They, until it's finally too late. And
it's always fun to have that moment of you being in on the joke. They're not fully in on
right.
it yet.
You have this dramatic irony as the audience to bring it into play. I mean, and there's so many jokes that are like subtly put in throughout. When they get to the village, the little boy comes up, you know, and he tugs on, you know, Chevy Chase's arm, and he's like, "Can I have your watch when you are dead?" And Steve Martin's like, What did he say?
Oh, I'm gonna die?
Okay, that's weird. And they, again, more and more and more, things are trying to be established where they don't even know that it is real, that this is a very dangerous situation. You know, they're like, okay, so what's gonna happen? How's the show gonna work out? All right, well, I was talking to the kid. He seems to know everything that's going on. El Guapo's going to ride in here with about, you know, 45, 50 of his men, act like he owns the place. We go out, you know, act like, you know, we're going to run him off, and then we're going to be done. And they're like,
think that there's, like, a second showing. They're like, oh, crap, like, we got to get ready, like,
right,
we got to do it again.
The first showing was only three of the guys going, like, oh, my gosh, we ran out of tequila. We need to go get more tequila. That was one thing I found very odd in this movie. A lot of people are drinking some tequila. I mean, literally to the point where they're just glugging it down like water. I'm thinking, no one is showing any inebriation.
It's a different time, man. Back in the day, people could drink. Nowadays, you have some people that are like, yeah, you know, watch me chug this fifth of vodka. Yeah, back in the day, I don't think that was like a feat to behold. I think that was just
like, you know, alcohol was definitely, you know, having more of an availability as opposed to like clean drinking water in some cases. And especially, you know, alcohol is going to help rid off any type of like internal infection, or if someone is sick, it could like break a fever. You know, you have them drink like a hot toddy or something. But man, they just are just chugging all of the tequila like throughout the movie. It's one of those things where I just watched it and I was all like, oh. And when I was younger, of course, no one's going to really like pay attention to the fact that they're drinking so much. But now as I'm older, I'm watching it going like, good Lord, that's slow down.
Yeah. Maybe you should check yourself in. Like, this is a problem.
Oh man. So while they're doing all of the show, you have a lot of the times, like, Steve Martin is fiddling around with his lasso, and he's doing all those, like, little rope tricks, and doing some research, I found out that, like, Steve Martin, between the ages of 10 and 18, actually worked at Disneyland, and he learned all of those rope tricks while selling guidebooks and spinning lassos in Frontierland.
Okay, Steve Martin.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's kind of fun for the fact that, like, you know, he's drawn on this ability to, you know, something that he did as a child merely for a job, but it came back and it was having this fun little availability for him. Man.
Out of the three of them, though, I feel like Steve Martin was the one that, like, went all in.
He seemed very confident.
Yes!
Did I mention that I teach English?
Yeah. It's a small fact.
It's a small fact.
But then you, like, right underneath him, honestly, I think, because there's a couple of parts where Martin Short, I think, really shines.
Right.
With, like, the gun, where he gives him, Hefe gives him the gun, and he, like, just does the physical comedy of the gun so heavy.
Mm-hmm. Because he's such a tiny little guy.
And he sells it very well the only person that kind of, I think, just plays this, I'm literally here just to kind of be the third amigo, is Chevy Chase, which is kind of sad. Like, I do like Chevy Chase, but
right.
He does not seem all that into it.
He
even his character.
He does not seem into it as much as, you're right, as much as any of the other, two amigos, where Steve Martin is very comfortable with his acting and very comfortable with the comedy. He's, giving all the one-liners, and it's kind of interesting to see for the fact that you have such subdued characters coming from these fantastic comedic actors. Now, bear in mind, like, this is Martin Short's breakout movie. This is his first big debut. But, I mean, from then on, what? You had, Steve Martin in The Jerk, and that's funny. You have Chevy Chase, even before that, with the Vacation movies. You have these hilarious comedic characters. They've all done, different sketch comedy shows and SNL, but you're right. Like, Chevy Chase was very subdued. He didn't, it didn't seem like he cared a great deal, but
and his character is definitely like the dumber one. And like a lot of the jokes don't like are supposed to not really land with him. Like when he's talking to the girl and he's
right.
Like, oh yeah, I've kissed a lot of girls, and it just kind of not getting
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he's not catching it. It's not like, would you like to kiss me? Oh, now? Well, I mean, we could take a walk and you could go kiss me on the veranda. Oh, the lips will be fine.
Mostly. but even that, like, so that was a fun little line with them, but just his attitude with a lot of other parts just kind of seems like, oh, am I supposed to stand over here? Oh, okay. And then he just kind of goes and does that. You right. have Steve Martin, who is constantly like, when he spins his gun, and it's just, he's doing it all wonky, but like, he's still doing it really well. Like, I love it, because he's in it. He's super into the moment and into the character.
And you have such turnarounds for the characters themselves, because again, throughout this entire time, Steve Martin is the one who is the confident one. He's the one who is driving the amigos to try and be better, which is kind of like exactly when he was up in the office in the beginning of the film saying, you know what? The amigos want some money. We want to get paid. And the other guy's like, I'd like to continue to, working
for free.
And he's like, no, shut up. We're going to get paid. We need money. And eventually, Steve Martin becomes the one who, like, gives up, and he says, we need to go home. Like, this is not a place for us. We're not confident here. This is not our thing. And it's the naive young one, Martin Short, of the group, who turns around, and he says, like, no, what do we got to go back to? The Migos are already dead. We can be someone here. So I'm drawing a line in the sand. You know what? You're gonna be men, or you're gonna be cowards. And Steve Martin,
mice are men.
Yeah, mice are men. You know, and Steve Martin, he comes to the point. He says, "You're right. We're gonna be men."
Which, if you think about this, so they go from being actors, and I'm sure, like, you have the other movies like Galaxy Quest and A Bug's Life in a way, because they kind of kill. But like, they go to like become killers.
They're very violent. Like, which is
interesting. Do we talk about the fact
they obviously had training to like how to fire the guns correctly, but they end up killing quite a few people.
Like, yeah, like 50 people.
I mean, they didn't kill all of El Guapo's men, but I mean, they definitely took out a huge chunk of them. But I mean, again, you have characters who are turning it around, who are, definitely enticing and very, very funny with their lines and their wit and their comedy about it. But more importantly, you have a fantastic villain. I mean, the person that they had to play El Guapo, Alfonso Oro, he was great. And it's not like you're expecting this debonair kind of man. I mean, he's got the scruffy beard. He's got nasty yellow teeth. And he still has this, charisma about him. And he still has this this air of
not educated, but like, he's not.
Well, he seems well-read. He God, seems what, to yeah, know like, what, what's happening.
How do you like pin the tail on this donkey? Like, he's not smart.
He's not smart. But he's not stupid. But he also knows like what he wants. And it's funny to the point where like he knows how to control his men, because obviously all the men are dumber than him. And for some reason, apparently he has also, you know, made a deal with the Germans in order to get rifles, you know, to Mexico.
He tells this guy to like hold his hat up and he's like, no, higher.
Like, hey, Jefe, who is that? Well, that's Paco. Paco, hold up your hat. Higher. Higher. Then he fires the gun, completely missing the hat, but hitting Paco and falling down. And you see Jefe have that look of like disappointment, like, I like Paco.
But like, it's moments like that, you're kind of like, that's what, in my opinion, makes this movie what it is. Like,
right.
Good, like, funny kind of...
It's comedic timing. Cheap.
And like, it's not like cheap hits, but like, it kind of is, but it works. Because the entire movie is that. It's right. Not...
And
it never tries to be something more, or takes a very weird turn and
exactly, is, and it never goes beyond to the point like they're literally trying to be a parody of all the great westerns. They're not trying to be anything more. They're literally trying to make fun of it, and they're trying to be humorous to the point where take the scene where they're out in the desert when they started writing for so long, and they eventually had to go back and get directions. You have the semblance of the old West right there in that scene, because they're making fun of the old Technicolor. It's this Technicolor background with the mountains, you know, the fake cactus, and the horses are tied up, and all of these animals start coming in and talking, or not talking to them, but they are sitting around, and it's a fake fire, and it looks like the old West. It resembles, again, the familiarity of the old films that they're trying to embody. And that's what's great.
Set up stage, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that scene was great. That scene was probably one of the funniest things, when they started like singing the song and the horses just kind of chime in, boom, 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 boom. It's a funny scene.
But we're talking about scenes. Is there any scene that you have that really like is like a cutout scene?
You know what? I definitely have a cutout scene, and I think it's a great
roll it. Let's do it.
What were you thinking?
Well, you got me. By all accounts, it doesn't make sense.
And you've got to cut it out.
Alrighty.
So for cut it out, we like to look for different scenes in movies that you could either like take out that don't necessarily make sense, or they seem odd, but taking them away won't necessarily draw anything out of the film. It won't ruin the plot. It won't change anything that you necessarily feel about it. But you definitely find those moments where you're like, why? One of my cut it out scenes, I kind of had a few, and I'll tell you right now, it's really hard to find a cut it out scene, because everything in this movie I can possibly look at and think, you know what? No, there's a good reason. I don't even know if it is a good reason, but I'm going to say it's a good reason, and that's why it's there.
Well, that's my point, is that like the movie itself is just like, if you throw one major part out, you're going to throw out most of the movie.
Oh, exactly.
You know, like you can't throw the baby without the bathwater. Like it's all going to go out. Oh, but go ahead. Give me your first one.
You can't really add. I mean, I think taking away could be risky, but it's definitely not going to be detrimental to the film. You can't add any more to this movie. It's an hour and a half, and it's perfect timing for it. If you added any more,
yeah.
I think it'd be too much. Ironically enough, with the singing of the guys at the campfire, that's one of my cut it out scenes. It's right at the end where they start doing the good nights to each other, which kind of was reminiscent of can't even think of the old TV show where they're like, good night, John Boy.
The Waltons.
The Waltons. That's it.
Yeah.
So, it's
good night, Mary Ellen.
Good night, Mary Ellen. The turtle. I don't need the turtle saying good night, Ned.
Yeah.
It seemed weird. Like the other animals, they came around and they were gathering when they were singing the song. And that was funny. I thought that was, you know, kind of clever. Like, oh, look, they're, you know, creating this atmosphere that's drawing in all the wildlife of the Old West. And the horses singing. The horses singing was funny. But the tortoise at the very end, after everyone is saying goodnight, and the camera even like pans to it, and it just looks straight at the camera. Goodnight, Ned. I don't know. I didn't think it was necessary. I think him just going off to sleep would have been just fine enough.
My cut it out in a weird way, like, would kind of cut out one of the like funnier parts for me, because I remember the first time that I ever watched it, like, and I don't even know why, but I rolled laughing. I loved it. I thought it was great.
But not now.
But no. I love the like, I don't even know if it was ad-libbing or what, but I hated the singing bush, but I loved the chants that they do. I think the chants are hilarious, and each one of them I'm like, yeah, like, I liked it. But the singing bush kind of part, I was like, meh, I'm not feeling this.
That definitely seems like funny.
That like, felt too, like reachy. Like
throwaway jokes. It seems seems like, oh, hey, we came up with these funny little sketches to go, again, with like the stylings of SNL. And they seem like throwaway sketches, but throwaway sketches that could have been funny somewhere else. The fact that, like, you have the singing bush, who was actually played by Randy Newman, and then you have the invisible swordsman, who they have to summon after they do their chants and fire one shot in the air. Thanks, Dusty. You killed the invisible swordsman.
We all fired up.
We fired up. You fired off the sign. And again, it's clever, but it seems so out of place, because it's the idea that you're trying to take the movie seriously, even though you know it's a farce. You know it's a farce. And this is the thing that kind of takes you out of the fact, and you realize, like, Oh, that's right. It's a movie making fun of other movies. Okay, I get it. I get it now. So I get that. I get the fact that, like, the singing bush would have been, like, way too much. Because at that point, what, they see the plane, and they're like, oh, I bet that's going to El Guapo's. And I'm thinking, how would you possibly know that it's going to El Guapo's? So they're like, oh, we'll follow the plane. Okay, so I guess you could have just been watching for the plane the entire time.
Yeah, there's a couple things, a couple liberties they take to just kind of help move it along.
So I get it. That's a funny, I mean, it's a funny part that could be taken out. I get it, and why it's there. Do you have a scene that just does it for you every single time, makes you laugh?
That, like, I kind of go to, like, my go-to scene?
Like, something that genuinely will make you laugh, regardless of how many times you see it in the film.
I do think that, like, maybe it comes with, like, the best line for me. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You want to roll That's What She Said?
Oh, yeah, we can roll You Can Say That Again.
Oh, that You Can Say That Again?
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, my goodness. That's the most badass thing I've ever heard.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
You can say that again.
Right. So, and when I was a kid, like, of course, anything that has to do with the penis, like, you laugh at. But my favorite line is that, not so fast, El Guapo, or I'll pump you so full of lead, you'll be using your dick as a pencil.
It's like, what do you mean?
I don't know.
I don't know. Hey, Guapo, I think he means
that he's like, shut up.
I've had enough of these Yankees.
Not so fast, El Guapo. Or I'll fill you so full of lead, you'll be using your dick for a pencil.
What do you mean?
I don't know.
I think he means that if you...
Shut up!
But just the, like, as a kid, I was always like, that's so funny that lead so full of your dick. I don't know. It was such a cheap little laugh, but every time I watch it, I go, again, it's that going back to when I was young and going, ha ha ha. Oh, immature little Nathan.
You're so charming and full of life. You know, okay, so for those of you are brand new, we have the fun little segment that is called, You Can Say That Again, where we're definitely going to be looking for the best and the worst lines in the film. Because regardless of what movie you watch, you're going to find some quotable lines. whether it be ones that you remember for being like the most hilarious, the most sincere, or the ones that just, they gripped your heart. And then the ones you're just gonna be like, that was stupid.
Yeah.
Why did they even say that? So something that I'm going to get to, like, my favorite, like, funny part that I think is just funny every single time. And it might draw on my love of watching people get hurt, because I don't know. It's just, it's hilarious. I can tell you, I've spent many an hour watching fail army videos on YouTube, or I truly enjoy the Jackass movies simply because, God, why not? Why not see people get hurt? But it's at the moment where they're at the party and Chevy Chase has just been, you know, outed as not being one of El Guapo's men. And he's all like, oh, put him over there with the other one. My gosh, are gringos just falling from the sky? And that's when Martin Short loses his grip from his place where he's been hanging above the party. And he just, he hits the table. And Hefe's like, yes, El Guapo. Watching him fall and hit the table, even though you know it's a dummy, you know it's a dummy falling, but it's one of those hilarious moments where it just, it takes you by surprise, and you don't think that, like, he's probably going to hit the table that far or that hard. And I don't know, that makes me laugh every single
slapstick time. Comedy honestly has a place in this world and in film. It really does.
Right.
Anyone that's like, oh, that's pretty stupid. Like, no. Like, it is a needed thing, damn it. Like, that stays.
You know, one of my favorite lines, and it's definitely one of those scenes that is quite possibly the most quotable from the entire film, is Hefe talking to El Guapo and saying, oh, El Guapo, for your birthday, I got you many piñatas. Yes? Yes, Hefe? Would you say I have a plethora of piñatas? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, a plethora. What is a plethora, Efe? Why, El Guapo?
Many piñatas?
Oh, yes, many. Would you say I have a plethora of piñatas?
A what?
A plethora.
Oh, yes. You have a plethora.
Efe, what is a plethora?
Why, Guapo?
Well, you told me I have a plethora, and I just would like to know if you know what a plethora is. I would not like to think that a person would tell someone he has a plethora and find out that that person has no idea what it means to have a plethora.
Forgive me, El Guapo. I know that I have...
Just that, again, that, like, is he smart? Is he dumb?
Right. He's trying to fit in. He's trying to, like, not look dumb in front of his boss. And I, again, at this point, you know that El Guapo is a little smarter than your average villain. But he definitely wants to make sure that his men understand that he is smarter than they are.
Yeah, good way to declare dominance. Yeah.
Right, exactly. And it's just a funny scene. Again, one of the most quotable scenes that I could possibly find. And man, just, it sticks with you. It's one of those things. It's one of those lines that just stand the test of time for this film. What would you say is your least favorite line in the movie?
And this, I think, plays into the, well, if, you know, I throw this one out, you know, I mean, really, you're throwing out a lot of, if that's, like, the line, if that's where you're judging this film, then you can take your pick.
Right.
But the, I'm probably going to misquote it, but the tequila and beer quote of...
Oh, when he says, he's like, we'll have three beers. We have no beer.
Tequila.
He's like, what's tequila? Well, it's like beer.
Which is nothing.
Like, is it fattening? Fattening? All right, forget it. Three tequilas.
But, like, the whole, like, it's kind of like beer. I'm like, it's nothing like beer.
It's nothing like beer.
And how these three people from America don't know what tequila is, I'm like, another stretch.
That does seem weird. That does seem weird that they wouldn't know what tequila is, because why wouldn't they?
And I can understand, I mean, even, like, the pesos. Like, so I can understand that the Chevy Chase's character, you know, Dusty Bottoms, would not know what pesos equivalent is. Because, like, Right. So if you were to say, hey, Nathan, how much is the euro compared to the dollar? I'd be like, you know what? Honestly, I'm not sure. It might be a little bit stronger than the American dollar. I'm not, you know, it just depends on the time. But pesos, you can pretty much guarantee that they're not going to be what the American dollar is. So
They don't know the exchange rate. They don't know it at all.
But for them to just be like, oh, wow, like, oh my gosh, like, we got it made. Really?
Right. Dusty seems like one of the people that, like, again, everything has been kind of, like, given to him, where in the beginning he was very, you know, he was very comfortable with saying, like, oh, I'll continue to work for free. Or when they go down to Centopoco and they're being given dinner and the lady's like, we are honored to have you in our home. They're eating all the food. And Dusty's like, do you have anything besides Mexican food? And they're like, I'm sorry, what?
And it's those little cheap little laughs like that, but it's like, okay, this movie, you know, it holds its own.
You can see some remnants of Chevy Chase's, like, quick-witted one-liners when he actually is doing something in the movie, when he's not just, like, off to the side. And, you know, Martin Short is kind of easing in with his own humor, and it's a little funny little Ned Niederlander. But then again, they have to rise to the occasion to try and beat Steve Martin with his actions.
And I think that is the level that he sets. Like, Steve Martin holds the bar up, and they have to be they're the ones that have to jump over it.
One line that I definitely did not. Again, it's funny because it's going to be a Chevy Chase line, where at the very beginning, when the producer was asking him, and they asked for more money, and he says, "Have you ever heard of Nada, in all of those, you know, Mexican movies, did you ever hear that word?" And Chevy Chase is like, "Isn't that like a light chicken gravy?"
What?
And you know what? I'm going to laugh at it, but I don't like the line, because even Martin Short is looking at him and he's nodding like, "Oh yeah, he's right. He's totally right. It's a light chicken gravy." But it's a stupid moment where it's proving like their own inadequacy to try and really understand like how the world is.
Well, and just
despite being famous,
just showing that his character is really is it's good that he's not the leader of the group, because
right.
Oh God,
yeah.
Oh, Dusty Bottoms.
Oh, Dusty Bottoms. You know what? I was actually really surprised to find out that this movie did not make a huge amount of money. It cost like roughly $25 million to make, and with a U.S. gross, it only made like $39 million. Like it kind of barely made it.
You know what? Like, it honestly doesn't have like the biggest like cult following either. It's not like Rocky Horror Picture Show is one of those movies that like you either never want to watch it, or it's a movie that you really appreciate and like and love. But this is not one of those movies where you have this huge underground following that is like, we right. love the Three Amigos. Oh my gosh, it's the best! Like, and
I think it's more understood the fact that like it is one of those iconic movies of the 80s. You understand that it's great, but again, you're right. Like, you don't need to have this huge cult following. It's not like our, you know, back at episode one when we did Tremors, and Tremors did terrible at the movie theaters, and it only gained in fame with the fact that, you know, VHS rentals, and even later in years with DVD sales, that Tremors kind of really, really took off.
But I would, like, as much as I like this movie, and I do think that it's a good movie, in popular opinion, I would say they probably would rank this as, like, fair. Like, just middle, like, not, it wasn't bad enough to, like, make a stink about and be like, this movie sucks. But it also didn't make, like, people go, I've got to spread the word about spread the gospel about the Three Amigos.
Have you heard about our three brethren? They went to Centopoco. They stopped at
and Amigos with you.
And Amigos be with you.
But it's good. It is fun.
Then you do the whole like Macarena, and you know.
Yeah. The thrust.
The thrust.
There's no other way to like describe that move.
Yeah, it's like the Macarena with a thrust.
Yeah.
It's the Rocky Horror Macarena. It's a Rocky Horror with a pelvic thrust Macarena. That's exactly what it is.
So out of those three people, Martin, Chevy, and Short. Which one do you like? Love is your favorite. It doesn't even have to be just in this movie, but like their career, who they are.
Oh, with their career
and just yeah, like what they've been in.
Hmm.
Which one do you like? Which one do you like super love? You just can't get enough of it. And which one do you kind of? I don't like you.
Man, that's really hard. Okay, so if I were to choose based on simply this movie, I love Steve Martin, hands down. I like
because he sells
Martin
it.
Martin Short because he does sell it, and I like Martin Short because you can see, despite the fact that like he's the young go getter in the group, but he tries, he really tries, and then you know, and then all that's left is Chevy Chase. But I mean, if you're gonna take on their careers. Oh, man, that's really hard because every single Christmas I make it a point to watch Christmas Vacation. It is my favorite Christmas movie. Oh, man, Steve Martin's so good in things like The Jerk and, every single Father of the Bride. You have
in everything.
Trains, Planes, and Automobiles.
Everything he touches, man. Like,
oh, my gosh. And you know, again, when you look at stuff that Chevy Chase has done, outside of Three Amigos, and again, not to knock the movie because it's not like it's a bad movie. I just feel that Chevy Chase was not allowed to be Chevy Chase. You have fantastic movies. Again, all of the Christmas, all of the vacation films. You have you have Chevy Chase going on to be in TV shows like Community, which was absolutely hilarious for his character. And Martin Short, I think. Really, probably has only I can't really remember like a huge amount of things that he was in.
Well, he's kind of followed in Steve Martin's footsteps in a lot of stuff, just like with you know Father of the Bride. And
Father of the Bride, he was there.
But and even the stuff that he's done hasn't really been crazy like super leading roles. I mean, I think like one of the most iconic leading roles that he was in.
Are you telling me that? The Santa Claus, the Escape Clause.
Well, I was going to say that he was what, Jack Frost? Like, okay, like, because that's all you can really remember. Like,
you tell me that's not the one.
I remember also when he was like Glick. Do you remember like he was like.
Was he in Glick?
Well, no,
was he Glick with Adam Sandler?
No, Glick with a G. He was like the Glick. Chubby.
He was, yes.
And that was.
Yes. That was funny.
That's what you like, kind of remember Martin Short as. And so. For me, and as much as I do like Chevy Chase, I can't like hate him, but he was never my cup of tea.
Mm-hmm,
like
mm-hmm.
His comedy was not what I like sought after. The stuff that he's in, though, I'm like, ah, Chevy Chase, I'm glad he's in it. Like this is good, but he's not the person that I'm holding my breath on what he's gonna say, just because he's just. He's not my guy. Not my guy.
Right.
Steve Martin would be my guy.
Yeah, Steve Martin is definitely the one like to kind of go with. It's a no brainer for it. It really is.
He's so good. He's so good in so much stuff. Like, I get a smile thinking about these cans. He hates these cans. Like it, everything he does, I love it.
You know. Okay. So. They go to Santa Poco, they take on El Guapo, which means the handsome, which is kind of, again, contrary to the fact of how El Guapo looks. And they end up saving the day by confusing all of them and doing this lovely trick where, again, we mentioned in the beginning, like, the village of Santa Poco is apparently only known for one thing, and that is sewing. And so Steve Martin looks to, you know, Martin Short and says, hey, do you remember our movie, Amigos, Amigos, Amigos? It's like, yeah. Why don't we do that exact same thing? And then you see them start sewing and sewing and sewing and sewing. And I love when he goes to the old lady and he's all like, so grandmother.
So like the wind.
So like the wind. And lo and behold, El Guapo and his men, for some reason, being directly behind them, is apparently hours away.
And that's the joke, I guess, is that like
it's the cliche like 80s montage, like, man, we did a week's worth of work in 30 seconds. And they end up having the three amigos like apparently running around all the village. and firing their guns and taking out different men of El Guapo and, you know, left and right. And he's like, they're over there, El Guapo. Oh my gosh, now they're over there. Now they're there. And you see them running back and forth, firing their guns, and men are falling. And then some people just like, you know, run away. And then, you know, El Guapo's like, where are you going? And Jefe's like, I'm still here, El Guapo. And he gets
boom.
Shot. He does his somersault and then he falls down. And you find out at the end, after El Guapo has been shot, that every single person in the village has made their own Three Amigos outfit: the black pants, the white ruffled shirt, the jacket, the, you know, black sombrero with the silver, you know, decorative lining. My biggest concern with that is that apparently they all had guns.
Yeah.
If this entire village had guns,
very well armed,
why are they not?
And in a way,
defending themselves,
pretty well trained. Like, I mean,
right. They're taking pot shots, and they're just, like, taking out, you know, El Guapo's men left and right. And I'm thinking, earlier in the film, there were people who were just, like, terrified of El Guapo's men. And when that was only when three of them were there. But apparently they're going to, like, again, possibly this that motivational speech that, you know, Lucky Day, Steve Martin's character, gives to all of them and says, like, everyone must face their own El Guapo in life.
Good little line.
For some, shyness might be their El Guapo. Maybe finding love might be their El Guapo. For us, El Guapo is a real man trying to kill us.
El Guapo is our El Guapo.
El Guapo is our El Guapo. But yeah, no, like, everyone had a gun, which I found kind of weird at the end, but I'm not going to, like...
You can't hang the movie for it,
it's
yet.
It's like the downside to the film, obviously, or it would have been my cut it out.
But the whole movie wraps up pretty well, I think. Like, it's a kind of a one and done. Exactly why, I know you mentioned earlier about, like, we had a question about would we want this to be a sequel?
Oh yeah, that came from the Movies with the Misses podcast. They were saying that, you know, even though the first one is so perfect, what would you guys think about a sequel? And you know, quite honestly, I don't need a sequel.
Yeah, this is not a movie that I would hope that they would either reboot or redo or make a sequel to.
Yeah, you don't need a sequel. Like, the Three Amigos, they ride off into the sunset, and they say, like, or Lucky Day says, you know, to Carmen, maybe I'll come back someday.
Why?
And Carmen's like, why? Why would you come back? And he's like, well, I thought. She's like, oh. But I mean, yeah, you don't need a sequel to this. You honestly don't need a sequel to this. We had another question from the pop-up film cast. They were asking, which amigo are you?
I would probably be, as much as I want to be Steve Martin, as much as I want to be Lucky Day, I'd be Ned.
Hands down, I am Ned.
Like, that kind of quirky...
Right, like, you're funny and you're confident, but you're still learning and you're kind of like, and you're kind of shy in some ways. Because, I mean, throughout the entirety of the movie, every single character, every single place, every single, like, movie executive, everything is fake. The only thing that's actually real in the movie is when Ned's character is sitting down on the stairs talking to all the villagers, saying that, you know, oh, Dorothy Gish, you know,
Dorothy
she
Gish, true story.
You've got it. Wow.
And he's so proud of it.
That's the only real. That's the only real thing. Like, Dorothy Gish was a real person, and everything else is fake. Everything else is completely fake.
But we're both not the Chevy Chases of the group. You know, we're not this.
No, we're not. We're not like stand back and
just kind of shrug, you know, and go, okay, yeah, and oh, I stand over here. Got it. Like,
right. I think you and I, like, each of us, we're definitely Neds, and we have moments of being Lucky Days.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I buy that.
Little sporadic moments of, like, energy and comedy here and there. But, yeah, you know, it's not bad. I don't think we really, you know, have too much of a problem.
We're being honest.
That we're going to become, you know, anything.
I mean, really.
Like Dusty Bottom.
You take the three and, like, I mean, there's not an answer that's like, oh yeah, like, everyone wants to be one more than the other. I mean, it's the Three Amigos, you know, they're all pretty on the same page.
Yeah, I would say so. I would definitely, definitely say so.
I heard we have some 5-star reviews.
We do have a 5-star review. You know what? This one came from the IMDb movie the IMDb Journey podcast.
I was going to say, IMDb actually wrote us, like, the entire organization.
IMDb said, ladies and gentlemen, we would like to get in contact.
We endorse them.
Actually, you know what? I have a thing to, like, talk about after I read this review from these fine people. You know, guys, if you want to go check out the IMDb Journey podcast, it's a great little show. I've only listened to a couple of episodes, but what they have there is very, very good quality. And they left us a fantastic review and said, you know, it's an awesome podcast idea. A nice take on the movie podcast genre. Rather than focus on the technical sides of movies and how, quote, well they're made, Drew and Nathan turn to the emotional side and how these movies make you feel and how you connect with them, which is a breath of fresh air. 100% subscribe right now. You will not regret it.
I like it.
So that's some kind words that were passed along our way.
5 stars.
And
5 stars. We got to do that more subliminally throughout the entire show.
Just sit there and you're like, Nathan, how was your week? You know, honestly, it was one of those 5 stars weeks where you want to.
It was one of those 5-star weeks. Landing gear and 5-star. I need to start using that more in this show. I love that line.
I think landing gear and, you know, back when we did Tremors, our friend Thomas from the X-Minutes podcast, he listened to it and he said, oh my gosh, you need to bring back that fake character that was that one producer who sat in the corner and had the idea of how the Tremors should be made into puppets. He's like, that needs to be a reoccurring character for every single
for
film.
For all bad do, things, like he's going to be the one that...
Exactly. He's going to be the random NPC that's going to be blamed.
Blame for all the great stuff.
Blame for all the great stuff. Okay, you know what? Earlier this week, actually, I think it was not even this week. It was the week prior. I made a post on Twitter, and I was really excited because the new Tremors movie was coming out, and I was like, oh my gosh, guys, you know what? Tremors 6, A Cold Day in Hell is coming out, and you got Jamie Kennedy on there and Michael Gross, and it's going to be a fantastic movie. And I was just trying to, like, pump some of our old episodes, and I said, hey, guys, you know what? This movie's coming out. Go in and check out our first episode. We did Tremors from 1990, you know, with Fred Ward and Kevin Bacon, and let's get it out there. You know what? Go take a listen, and then, you know, check out Tremors, A Cold Day in Hell when it gets here. And I got super excited. I think I texted you.
You did.
It was like 11 o'clock at night. I was like, oh my gosh, Jamie Kennedy liked our tweet. I was super, super excited. And I tried to, like, again, be very coy and not fanboy it up a bit. And I was just kind of tweeting him out. And I was saying, like, oh, Jamie Kennedy liked our tweet. Oh my gosh. Well, you know, Mr. Kennedy, if you like this episode, you could always come on to our show and talk about Tremors 6, A Cold Day in Hell. We would.
I will review that for you.
Yeah, it's like, we'll get on top of that. You know, you and Mr. Gross would definitely on the show together. That would be fantastic. I would cry a little. 5 stars. But you know what? I did it again. I watched Tremors 6 when it came out. You know, I ordered my DVD and I got it and I was watching it. And I put it out there on Twitter again that we were watching it, and Jamie, this time he just didn't like it. He actually wrote back and said, like, you guys. And again, I kind of fangirled and screamed a little, but it's just one of those moments where I'm like, oh my gosh, a celebrity.
Yay!
A celebrity is liking little old us in our podcast. So, you know what, Mr. Kennedy, Mr. Gross, I don't know if you listen to our show, but definitely get in contact with Mr. Kennedy about this. Jamie, if you want to talk about Tremors, hands down, I would love to talk Tremors with you. I would love to talk Tremors with Mr. Gross as well and see exactly what happened on the set, you know, the development. Because, you know, Nathan, I know you probably haven't seen Tremors 6, A Cold Day in Hell, but it takes a serious turn.
Oh.
Unlike any of the other Tremors.
A serious turn, you say?
A very serious turn where, guys, Burt Gummer actually gets in some real danger. Like, real danger. It's not danger that Burt Gummer can get out of, or even if it seems serious and you're like, it's Burt, he's fine. No, he gets in some serious crap. And it's tense for a moment, even though you're laughing. It's funny. It's a funny movie.
I'm like, oh, but Tremors is actually like putting you on the edge of your seat.
Tremors is putting you on the edge of your seat. But I mean, again, it's laughable. It's funny. It's a good film. Guys, go out and see Tremors. I already said, even way back when we started the show in February, I said, you know, Tremor 6 is coming out in May. I'm really excited about it. I can tell you right now, like, I'm going to do a mini review episode of it. And if, again, Mr. Kennedy, if you get a hold of me before I do it, I'm going to give you a little time. I would love to talk to you about the film. That would be fantastic. But that can be available for everybody.
Yeah, make it happen.
I think it'd be a fun little mini quick episode to do.
I think people would enjoy it.
Yeah. And if you guys want more Tremors action, again, this episode is not about Tremors, but I'm always going to plug Tremors 100% of the time. You can go check out the Hey Down in Front podcast. They talk about Tremors 2. They just did a live commentary of watching the film. And again, Netflix has the 5th Tremors movie, the 6th Tremors movie, and Amazon Prime has 1 through 4. You can't lose.
You really can't.
You cannot lose.
Unlosable.
Ah, it's unlosable. You know, Nathan, this has been a fantastic birthday. I'm loving the fact, again, being born in the same year, in the same month as yourself.
Yeah! That's a fun thing. May's a good month.
32. Ugh. 32.
Don't announce that. Why are you announcing that to everyone?
Because it's all I have.
I'm right there with you, bud. No, it's a good age.
No, it's a good age. It's a good year. 1986. Mm. So this was a good birthday episode. And Nathan, like, your birthday is 2 weeks
coming
away?
Coming up.
Yeah.
The 24th.
I am excited for you as well. I may have to get you something. A little something, something.
Well, we still gotta get out and celebrate yours, man.
Okay.
You know. Gotta do something.
That's always the problem with me. People always want to, like, go out and celebrate and, you know, do stuff for my birthday, or even, like, you know, when Christmas comes around, they're like, what do you want? And I'm like, I don't need anything.
Scrooge.
Just the fact that you want to give me something. That's enough. I don't know. I rarely ever feel like I need anything, let alone deserve anything. You know what I mean? I'm just like, what have I done? What have I done to, like, deserve?
So modest.
Like, some type of, like, random gift.
I tell you what, though, is pretty awesome. My birthday treat is going to be our next episode. One of the greats. But are we announcing that or no?
Should we announce it? I mean, we've kind of been coy for the past two episodes.
Yeah. So everyone, if you're into old school fantasy, not Lord of the Rings, but close enough, and if you ever watch the movie Willow,
yes,
then you'll enjoy our next episode, because that's what we're going to be doing with our good friend, special guest, one of a kind, Jack. Woo!
Jack will be our first guest up on the podcast with Val Kilmer and Joanne Whaley, and more importantly, directed by well, George Lucas, of course.
You know, he makes a nice little splash.
Oh, yeah,
he
makes a tiny ability to be part of it. But guys, Warwick Davis is there. This movie was quite literally made for Warwick Davis by George Lucas. How can you stay away?
He's such a good actor too. Like, I know that it's, and we'll get into it on that episode.
We'll get
but
into
yeah,
it.
I love his stuff.
It's good stuff. It is some good stuff.
Well, Drew, that about does it, man.
Yes.
Where can they find us?
Guys, you know what? Every other Wednesday, you can find us here on Podbean and iTunes. And most recently, we are now also up on Stitcher. So every other Wednesday, come and listen to us talk about a movie. Listen to us discuss what we are going to be feeling and, you know, finding out about all these films that are going to be treasures and classics for us, but also maybe something brand new for you.
5 stars.
You know what? There's always a chance that you're going to have some type of great discovery. Just like our last episode, I had never seen Executive Decision, and that was all Nathan, and he brought a brand new movie into my
Bada
life.
Boom.
I could not have been more thankful for it.
Aw.
But you know what? iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher. You can also check us out on Twitter. Just look for us at Real Feels Pod. You can email us at realfeelspodcast@gmail.com. And Hey, don't forget Facebook. Just go ahead. Find our page. Like it. The Real Feels Podcast.
5 stars.
5 stars. And of course, we love the reviews. We love the interaction with our audience members. We love hearing the fact that you love all these movies that we're doing, any kind of commentary, you know, good and bad. There's nothing, nothing but good criticism that can go into a show. Even if you got a complaint, that only means that we can try and make this
show. We're doing something right. and tell you what, if anyone puts a 5-star review with just the words landing gear, I will read it. I will read every single one of those that come on to that that 5-star review on iTunes. I'll be the one that reads it on here.
Maybe they should leave a 5-star review and somehow hide the words landing gear
within it.
The 5-star review.
Ooh, clever girl.
I think that's clever. We need the subliminal messages that can go into 5 stars and these reviews. For everything that we can landing gear, get out of them.
But you gotta say it just so like, ugh, I forgot about it. Landing gear.
Oh, the landing gear. All right.
Alrighty, guys.
So let's get out of here. We'll see you next week, folks.
On the next episode.
And to trail you away, we have the intro song from The Three Amigos, where fantastic. Just stay with us while it you know takes you off into the sunset. The Three Amigos, they hold that high note for 14 seconds. Woo. So don't be a stranger. Come on into the cantina. Have a drink with us.
Hit us up.
You'll always be one of our amigos.
Si.
Because you are the realest.
And the feelest.
Adios, muchacho.
Brave amigos are we, brother to brother and everyone, a brave amigo. Wherever they need us, our destinies lead us, amigos, we're always together. Wherever we go, we're three brave amigos, and we'll be amigos forever. We are the three amigos. We are the three amigos. We are the three amigos.